WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
What is up, beautiful people? You are now locked into WKAR's Current Sports on this Friday, or shall I say Friday, right? TGIF, folks. TGIF. It is December 9th, 2016. We've got a great show in store for all of you out there to close out our week here on WKAR's Current Sports. On today's show, we will chat with about a now former Michigan State football captain that has had a run-in with the law, and we've now got alleged details that will give us a bit more insight into exactly what happened. So we'll tell you who that player is and what went down. Don't miss that. Also, I sat in on Michigan State men's basketball practice yesterday, got a chance to chat with Tom Izzo after practice, and you will hear from the Hall of Fame coach as his team progresses now and look forward to an afternoon matchup against Tennessee Tech at the Breslin tomorrow. And oh yeah, they're actually giving away tickets to that game. So stay tuned and find out how you can win a pair of tickets to check out the MSU men's basketball team. And speaking of college basketball, we will invite live here in studio, I believe, Deshaun Tate, Lansing native and college basketball reporter, producer of CBS Radio out in the ATL. You don't want to miss that. And we will talk about the Detroit Lions as they will host the Chicago Bears on Sunday. How does your MVP race look? That'll be one of the prime questions we'll be diving into today. Do you think that Matthew Stafford should be in the conversation? We'll talk about that, and we'll also reflect on the week that has been here on Current Sports with a segment we call Reflection Friday. So as you see, a jam-packed show, so much to get to, so little time. Here are your Current Sports quick hit headliners. All right, we start with news concerning MSU senior captain and defensive back Demetrius Cox allegedly broke a cab driver's nose. Now, on Thanksgiving, Cox was arrested on assault charges and was released on $200 bond. Less than 48 hours after the incident, the Spartans traveled to Happy Valley to play the Penn State Nittany Lions. Now, Cox did not travel with the team. According to police reports, a cab driver told police he picked up a customer who was later identified as Cox at 2:45 in the morning in downtown East Lansing. Now, Cox tried to give the cab driver directions to a place on Oak Ridge Avenue, but gave the driver directions to the same place he had been picked up. Yeah, I guess that was a fuzzy night for Cox. At this point, Cox got really aggressive. He put his burrito down and began to punch the cab driver. Cox had a blood alcohol level of 0.22 when he was arrested, and you better believe we will have more chatter on that subject. Moving on, the MSU women's basketball team finished their two-game road trip with an 85-48 win over Rhode Island. The Spartans are now 9-2 and head into their winter break with a week off for finals before facing Northeastern next Sunday at the Breslin. Now, after Rhode Island scored the first 2 points for the game, MSU went on a 22-0 run. Yes, a 22-0 run. And there was no looking back. Four players totaled double digits with, of course, Tori Jankowska leading the way with 16 points. Jankowska also led in rebounds with 8. But one category she did not lead in was minutes, only playing 30 for the first time this season. Freshman guard Taryn McCutcheon, an East Lansing native, added 15 points and 7 assists in 36 minutes. Impressive dub for Susie's team and a great start to the year for them. Tom Izzo's men's basketball team is finally getting some practice, something he has yearned for all year. His young team has not had the cushion most teams get at the start of the season, so their mistakes have been exemplified. Again, the toughest November in program history. They have now been comfortably in East Lansing for over a week now, and will stay here until the 27th of this month when they will head to Minnesota. Now, the Spartans will hope to showcase more of what they can be against Tennessee Tech tomorrow at 2 p.m., and you can win a pair of tickets to that game. We'll tell you how in just a second. Michigan finally got a good win under its belt, I should say, after beating Texas 53-50 at home this week. But they will face their biggest challenge of the season as they head to Westwood to take on the UCLA Bruins, who just knocked off number one Kentucky in Lexington. The Wolverine basketball team has just not clicked this year and aren't getting the production from senior co-captains Derek Walton Jr. and Zach Irvin that they hope for. Much to work on if they want to be a tournament team. Michigan State, yeah, the hockey team, kicks off Big Ten play against Minnesota. Sparty is 4-6-1 this far, with big wins at Ferris State and North Dakota, while also tying North Dakota. Minnesota was picked as the Big Ten favorite and is 7-5-2. MSU will be without two defensemen, making their young team even younger, having to rely even more on freshies. It could be said the Spartans have exceeded their expectations thus far into the year and could maybe sneak a dub with the fans behind them. MSU will look for top scorers to really be big in this matchup. And again, that matchup will start tonight at 6:30 p.m. We'll have more chatter on that game later on Monday of next week's show. We also even got a bite for you, I believe.
Here's Gattel on the near boards. Little opening. Pavlik in. Shoot. Scores! So again, Michigan State strikes first.
Yeah, so MSU will look for top scorers Mason Appleton and William Hogg to help lead an upset in EL. The MSU wrestling team has their first home match of the season tonight as they take on number 18 Minnesota as well at Jenison Fieldhouse at 7 p.m. The Spartans are 2-3 on the year, 0-1 in the conference. MSU was coming off a winless Nebraska squad where they played number 7 Nebraska, number 25 Princeton, and Drexel. One of the Spartans to watch is redshirt junior 141-pounder Javier Gasca. He is MSU's lone returning NCAA championship qualifier and is 12-2 so far this season. The game can be watched on BTN Plus. The Detroit Pistons travel to Minnesota to take on the Timberwolves tonight. Detroit basketball is now 500 on the year at 12-12, coming off an 87-77 loss to Charlotte on the second night of a back-to-back. Minnesota is now playing their second game of a back-to-back after losing 124-110 last night in Toronto against the Raptors. Young center talent will be on full display as Andre Drummond and Cat, that's right, Carl Anthony Towns, will go at it in the paint. The Pistons sit at sixth in the Eastern Conference with a rebound, sixth in the league with a rebounding margin of plus 29, while the Timberwolves are tied for eighth at plus 22. Defense has been something that head coach Stan Van Gundy has preached, but is yet to be seen by this Pistons squad. The game will be broadcast, of course, on FSD at 8 p.m. Hockey Town, last but not least, will welcome the Columbus Blue Jackets to Joe Louis Arena tonight. The Red Wings, currently 13-11-3 and fifth in the Atlantic Division, are riding a two-game win streak. The Blue Jackets are 15-5-4, fourth in the Metropolitan Division, on a four-game dub streak. Andreas Athanasiou has been activated off of injured reserve after dealing with a knee sprain for 4 weeks and is expected to make his return to the lineup. Alexei Marchenko is also planning to return after being out since November 20th. Peter Mrazek is expected to start in goal for the Wings. The game will be broadcast, on FSD Plus at 7:30 p.m. Those are your current sports quick hit headliners. Share what's on your mind by weighing in via social media at facebook.com/currentsports or even tweet us at Al Martin WKER or at WKER_sports. Let's start the show.
Pushing on the dribble into the front court. Long bounce to the granite.
Yes, sir.
Hardaway in on Moncrief for the jam.
Right back into Jordan, low right against Humphries. Turnaround jumper, good. Michael on the drive against Harper. Down the lane for the dunk. Takes it down the lane all the way. Lefty dunk, right in man's face. No good right side. Michael Jordan's foul is in. Jordan knocked it away to Grant, ahead to Jordan. Michael on the first bouncer, ahead to Paxton. Now Michael Jordan pushing on the dribble. Stutter step move in on Chapman. Drops the ball for Newman. Rebound on the floor. Jordan's got it and lays it in and draws the foul.
Michael Jordan gets back in the game. Going to shake and bake, does, to the mid-post on Dumars. Now ducks it, spins, scoops, and scores.
Yes, and that is how we start this Friday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the show. Ladies and gents, boys and girls, I am your host, Al Martin. Can't believe it's already Friday. We've got a lot to get to, but I would be remiss if I did not start today's show by giving a huge salute to one of my favorite players in the NBA, Mr. Russell Westbrook, who has been just a dynamite player. A dynamite player this season. The reason why I opened up with that montage of the GOAT, the greatest of all time, the greatest to ever lace up some sneaks and head to the hardwood, Michael Jeffrey Jordan, is because Jordan, you know, Jordan was amazing, folks. And, you know, I feel like as time goes on and we see, you know, studs of today's game nip at unbelievable records, we always hear MJ's name brought up because MJ was so good that, I mean, he holds just various records throughout his playing career. Jordan actually had a streak during the 1988-1989 NBA season in which he had seven straight triple-doubles. That's insane, right? Seven straight triple-doubles occurred during a longer stretch of 10 and 11 games. And Westbrook right now has the possibility to, I believe, tie Jordan tonight, right, Isaac? Yeah, he has six right now. Russell has six straight triple-doubles, mind-blowing. And what mostly amazes me about this stretch of basketball for Westbrook is that, you know, and haters are going to hate, simple as that, but you really can't hate when evaluating what Wes Cook has been able to do. It's still a line from my fraternity brother, who is a huge Westbrook fan. But Westbrook right now has, in his career, 48 career triple-doubles. And in those 48 games or throughout that stretch of basketball, not only has he put up crazy numbers, but the thing that stands out to me is that Westbrook wins whenever he does throw up a triple-double, most of the time, I should say. In his 11 so far this season, the Oklahoma City Thunder are 9-2. Crazy, right? The two losses were a two-point loss to the Orlando Magic on a buzzer beater and also an overtime loss to the Indiana Pacers. So in his 11 triple-doubles this year, again, 9-2, and the two losses were lost just by the skin of the Thunder's teeth. Remarkable. Remarkable. Another stat that blows my mind. There are numerous stats that blow my mind, but another one that really does is when Westbrook hauls in a rebound, the Thunder's pace automatically picks up. I mean, it's unbelievable watching Westbrook when he grabs a rebound and is able to go coast to coast for an easy, well, not an easy layup, but for a layup or a slam. No one can keep up with him on the break, especially if he crashes the boards and just takes off and turns on the Jets. But when Westbrook hauls in a rebound, the Thunder's pace just turns up to 20, and the team actually shoots a higher effective field goal percentage. Whenever Westbrook gets a rebound, the Thunder shoot 55% from the floor. Crazy, right? That's insane. Over 50% from the floor whenever Westbrook crashes the boards. And when you talk about triple-doubles, the big name that comes to mind for me is the Big O. Oscar Robertson, he's the only player in NBA history to ever average a triple-double throughout the course of an NBA season. And, you know, only one player other than Oscar has ever averaged at least 9 points, 9 boards, and 9 assists per game. And guess who that was? Take a guess, Isaac, if you had to guess who that was.
If I had to guess, I'd guess Wes Unseld.
No, it's actually Lansing native Magic Johnson.
Really? Okay, believable.
Only exactly, right? I mean, you look at Magic's career. I mean, he was also a triple-double machine throughout his NBA playing career. But Magic Johnson, who in 1981 and 82, he had put up 18 points, 9.6 boards, and 9.5 assists per game. Crazy. No one has been as close to Westbrook in 35 years, and no one has done that in 55 years. So this indeed is historic when you evaluate the numbers. And, you know, I talk about the Big O a lot. I mean, he was – the Big O, in my opinion, was really a total outlier of his time. I mean, no one was doing what Oscar Robertson was doing at the time. And, you know, Westbrook right now is setting a new trend. I really can't think of any other player in the league that – You can compare Westbrook to, you know, and Robertson. I mean, he didn't just average a triple-double for the season for the only time in NBA history. He finished fifth in points per game, fourth in field goal percentage. I mean, he was a superlative in every sense of the word. And the same case can be made for Westbrook. And the big question now is whether or not Westbrook can keep this up. I mean, that's a tall order, right? That's really a tall order to expect Westbrook to continue to put up these numbers. And then they go against the Houston Rockets tonight. That's going to be a fun matchup. I'm going to definitely check that one out after I cover high school basketball tonight. But the Thunder will be taking on the Rockets at home. You got James Harden and Westbrook going at it, two early MVP candidates. But it's just so fun to watch Westbrook play the game of basketball because, you know, Westbrook is a guy who, I mean, this dude doesn't have many friends, all right? He is an old-school basketball player, and that's another reason why I really appreciate him. You know, he's not out there to make friends and to be buddy-buddy and to hang out with you in summer vacations, all right? He is out there to do one thing, to beat you. Not just beat you, but to stomp on your throat. I love that. I love that because that is something that has been lost over time in the NBA. And, you know, and I think he's being fueled now. I mean, of course he's being fueled now, right? By the whole Kevin Durant situation. We saw Westbrook take a shot, even though he says that he didn't. But he took a shot at his former teammate when the Thunder lost to the Golden State Warriors earlier this year. And Kevin Durant was absolutely awesome in that game. But what it... What did Westbrook enter the stadium with, right? What did he enter the hardwood wearing? He wore a photographer's cloak over his T-shirt, Isaac. And you saw that. And that's a clear jab at KD because Kevin Durant, of course, you know, he's big into photography. And I believe at last year's Super Bowl, he got a media pass and was able to be on the sidelines and take different shots of the Super Bowl and experiment with his Canon camera a bit. So a clear jab. I love it, though. I absolutely love it. But, I mean, it's remarkable when you watch Westbrook play, Isaac. And another thing that really gets me is that Westbrook is 6'3", right? And this dude is averaging double figures in rebounding. You know, there's no player his height or lower, or shorter, I should say, that has ever averaged double digits in rebounding. The numbers are being shattered by the day, I feel like, with him.
Yeah, we are watching history, make no mistake about it. He's shooting 42.7% as well. That's comparable to what Derrick Rose shot the season he won the MVP. This isn't like Russell Westbrook's going down the court, jacking up shots, jogging on back, and just waiting to accumulate stats. Like you said, he's winning. He's sixth in the West right now or something like that, and this is a team that I wasn't convinced that they'd have a playoff shot to take a shot at my New Orleans Pelicans, who I think have a player of the same caliber in Anthony Davis. They're, what, in the 300s of winning percentage right now, 0.33 something. Mm-hmm. I'm sure it is. They're about 7-15. Russell Westbrook's winning with not all that better of a team. We've seen so many superstars stifled and stymied before because of their team holding them down. The thing with Westbrook is he's irrepressible. That's the word I'd use to describe him. He will not be stopped. He gets the rebound. He goes down the court. And if you can stop him by some miracle, by some godsend, mm-hmm. then he passes it out to an open teammate in the corner, gets his assist for the night. That's the thing. He is unstoppable.
This is my stat of the week, Isaac. And I'm about to blow your mind. So strap in tight with the statistic, okay? When I was up last night preparing for this conversation, I had to go back and actually reread the stat because it just really my heart started beating when I read it, Isaac. Get this. Comparing statistics from, you know, you're looking at Oscar Robertson's time compared to today's NBA. The NBA, of course, we all know, it's incredibly different today. You know, you look at, you know, the NBA having 9 teams back then. Now it has 30. You know, top players used to average well over 40 minutes per game, where few play so many as, 38 today. You know what I mean? I mean, there's a lot of statistics here that when you compare and contrast eras from the Big O's era to now, it's different. You know, there were no three-pointers back in 1962. The average team shot 43% from the field back then. Even without threes, teams are shooting 45% overall now. And the pace. This is what really gets me. The pace of the NBA is vastly different than it was back in 1962 to now in 2016. The NBA in 1962 was pretty fast, actually. The average game back then featured 126 possessions per team per game. That's a lot, right? 126 possessions per team per game? That's nuts. Now, get this. I want to ask you, Isaac, what do you think the average is now?
I believe it's around 106, 108, something like that.
Lower than that, my friend.
Really?
Actually, below triple digits. 97 is the average in 2016 today.
Wow.
So, putting in perspective that, I mean, that means Oscar's games had more rebound opportunities, right? Had more assist opportunities, had more scoring opportunities. The pace dictates those statistics, right? If you were to take those numbers and those possessions and put them in the 2016 era, this is what happens. And there's a website out there that actually differentiated those numbers and put them in context of what Russell Westbrook could be doing or would be doing in context of those possessions, Isaac, of 126 possessions per team. If that were to happen today, if the NBA's game today mimicked that of 1962's, Westbrook would be averaging 46.6 points per game, 17 assists per game, and 15.6 rebounds per game. How insane is that?
Well, the thing about that, too, is although it's a hypothetical,
yeah,
it's not one of these hypotheticals like, let's plug LeBron into that air and his strength would just be so unstoppable for opponents. Mm-hmm. There's no way we could get to him, whatever. And I totally agree with that claim. But the thing is, this would totally suit Russell Westbrook's style. A faster game, Russell Westbrook would be chomping down on that like a nice juicy rib or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, he would absolutely love playing in that sort of air with no threes, just grab the rebound and go. You saw great NBA players of the past like Pistol Pete Maravich and others go on and do that so successfully for however many years. Russell Westbrook would just be faster, stronger, jump higher, and finish better than all of those players. This really is a historic season, and right now, boy, like we were talking about this a few days ago, but it's a fun MVP race, isn't it?
It is. It definitely is a fun. Now, I will say this, and you know I'm a big NBA guy, Isaac. We both are. The NBA regular season, it's compelling when evaluating the big names, the big superstars, but the overall product of the regular season, it's tough to watch sometimes. I must say, it is very tough to watch sometimes because you got all these superstars linking up. And I could go on a rant, but I won't go that far, okay? Right now, I want to. Do you have the two numbers that are open right now? Because I don't believe our regular number is open right now, Isaac. We'll get our numbers up because we – We've been having technical difficulties when it comes to our usual 517-355-WKAR number. So we actually, on yesterday's show, pubbed our two other numbers that you can call in to be a part of the show. And we're going to throw those out in just a second. And when we do, I'm actually going to give you a chance to win two tickets to check out the Michigan State men's basketball team as Tom Izzo Spartans will welcome Tennessee Tech tomorrow afternoon at 2 p.m. to the Breslin Center. All right? So, okay, we have both of them up right now, and this is what we're going to do this, Isaac, because in 5 minutes we're going to welcome our guest for today's show. But caller number four, these are the two numbers. Caller number four will win a pair of tickets to check out Tennessee Tech and MSU tomorrow afternoon. Number to call is 355-5266. 355-5266. Of course, 517 area code. If you can't get through there, the other number to call, we're going to make Isaac very busy in the back right now. 517-432-3305. If you would like to win a pair of tickets to check out the MSU men's basketball team as they host Tennessee Tech tomorrow, caller number four will win. So if you're not caller number four, just keep calling. That's all you got to do. Just keep calling. Two numbers are 517-355-5266 or 517-432-3305.
Phone and we lines, already do have one caller.
We already do it. So, hey, caller number three from this point will win a pair of tickets to check out the MSU men's basketball team tomorrow. It's a great time, you know, 2 p.m. Saturday. You're doing nothing, right? I believe it's supposed to snow. Get out and watch some hoops. So, again, 517-355-5266 or 517-432-3305. Later on this show, we're going to dive into this whole situation concerning Demetrius Cox. Former MSU football senior captain, who is now involved with a run-in with the law. He pleaded not guilty last week to a misdemeanor assault charge stemming from a November 24th incident in which he allegedly punched a cab driver last month. Demetrius actually sent out a tweet yesterday afternoon at around 3:30 p.m., saying that, I'll just read it. He added two individuals, at Bills underscore Wolverine and at Spartan Wire, saying, quote, getting that cleared up as we speak, have a blessed day. And I tell you what, if you look at Demetrius Cox tweets, the tweets that have been added at him, they're pretty ugly. Spartan Nation has been calling him out left and right, and it's getting really ugly. So we'll get to that later on this hour. You'll hear my thoughts on the situation. We'll also invite three of our PAs. We've got Zach Barnes, Griffin Wasik, as well as Zachary Swizicki in the house for the final time this semester. We'll get their thoughts later on this hour. We do have a winner of the tickets. I want to give a big congratulations to Nicholas Lentz. Nick, thanks so much for listening and enjoy the game tomorrow afternoon. I'll shoot you a call after the show to let you know how you can pick up those two hot tickets. All right, let's hit our first break. When we come back, we will chat with Deshaun Tate, Lansing native and college basketball reporter and producer of CBS Radio in Atlanta. We talk Michigan State men's basketball. You will get a chance to hear from Hall of Fame Spartan head coach Tom Izzo on the progression of his Spartans as they prepare for tomorrow afternoon's matchup. We'll be right back. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. It is Friday, December 9th, 2016. And, you know, mixed in with that montage, Isaac, to start the show with the Jordan highlights from when he had seven straight triple-doubles back in the late 80s, I played J. Cole's instrumental from his last album. But you know what? I'm pretty excited, dude. J. Cole, you guys know I'm a big hip-hop head. and J. Cole dropped his latest album last night. And that's why I'm still wiping the crust out my eyes, because I was up pretty late last night listening to it. And I'm a big fan of it already. He is one of the best, not just hip-hop artists, but one of the best musicians in the game today. It's entitled For Your Eyes Only, and it's for everybody's eyes because and ears, for that matter, because everyone's raving about it right now online.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty safe statement. And Cole's finally bringing back a little bit of intensity to the game of hip-hop. We've been missing it for some time.
Well, he's always been that way, though, you know? But
Cole
I
has
think
been,
more so
but the game than, itself right. has died down a little bit. You've got a bunch of soft rappers coming out, for lack of a better term.
And Zach Barnes yells out and says, yeah, just like the NBA.
Oh,
well, I like that jab.
Yeah,
I like
that's
that
actually
jab.
Contrary. That's fair. Even me being the biggest NBA fan, I'll give you that one. But yeah. No, hip-hop, it's really coming to a revival. Cole and Wale actually exchanged shots between False Prophets, and then Groundhog Day was Wale's response. And I've got to say, I thought False Prophets was a memorable track. Yeah. I thought Groundhog Day was one of the best response tracks that I've ever heard.
Where is that Wale been? That's all I'm going to say.
Exactly.
Where have you been, man? And I hated his concert when he came here to Michigan State when I was still on campus. And he linked up with Maybach Music. And Yeah, like, come on, dude. All right. From hip-hop to Tom Izzo, right? Great transition there. Tom Izzo held his latest practice available to the media yesterday afternoon. And I went out the office and went out into the cold and snowy Thursday evening that was East Lansing yesterday, and headed over to the Breslin and got a chance to sit in on Tom Izzo's latest practice. And man, oh man, it was I just love sitting on Izzo's practice, because you get to see how a Hall of Fame coach does what he does behind the scenes. And it's always a remarkable time just sitting there. I mean, and most of the time I'm sitting there with my jaw. I'm trying to keep my jaw off the floor. I mean, because Tom Izzo he just knows how to motivate his players. So after practice, as they customarily do, Tom Izzo, he chats to the media. And I want to play a few snippets here before we dive into a brief Texas Tech and Spartans preview. Izzo has harped on the lack of practice time and time again throughout this season. When you play a November schedule like this program played, really no practice time, really no film session time. And that is something that, if anything, Tom Izzo doesn't regret who they played during that stretch of basketball. He regrets the time needed in between to prepare for those said matchups. So Izzo's loving this right now, because the gauntlet, for the most part, is behind this team before Big Ten play ramps up. And he's enjoying just spending time with his players and finding out how to make this thing work. Here's Izzo on practice time.
Well, I mean, we're getting a lot more done, you know, just our attention to detail, all the little things that you talk about in a film, but now you can show them in a practice. And you think about it, it's still only been a couple of days. You know, I mean, a couple of days here, a couple of days there. We're actually taking chances by going harder the day before a game, because I'm just going to get some practice time in. So tomorrow we won't go this long, but we're going to go hard tomorrow, which is not the norm. But we got a lot of catching up to do, and not their fault, not my fault, not anybody's fault. We're just going to get it done. And I think they agree with that, and I definitely agree with that.
Tom Izzo has also been trying to get more out of Josh Langford. Now, again, when it comes to Josh missed the beginning of this season. He missed the exhibition year because he was nursing an injury. So Josh is trying to figure out who he is when it comes to this MSU offense. He made 15 steps in the right direction on Tuesday as he came out with 15 points, a season high for him, in that win over Youngstown State. I asked Tom Izzo about the progression of Josh Langford, and here's what Coach Izzo had to say.
Tom, saw you challenging Josh a bit. How do you go about building up his confidence?
You know what? I don't worry about confidences. You know, that's the biggest phony thing on coaches, if you ask me. You know, every parent wants confidence. Every media guy wants confidence. Every fan wants confidence. Let me tell you something. I can build till I'm the greatest builder in the world. And players earn confidence. They earn confidence by what they do. Josh has been really good, and he's getting better.
Josh, you talk about him pushing you. What does that do for your confidence? Does it help? How does that help grow it?
It helps it a lot. You know, just to know that, you know, he thinks that highly of me, to be able to, you know, to always be on me, because a lot of times, you know, we know just if a coach is on you all the time, that means he sees something in you and he's trying to get it out of you as much as possible.
He's got to get in much better shape. That's not his fault. He was out. And he's got to realize that, not to be so hard on himself. He drops his head. You watch it. You see it.
You know, I would be more worried if he wasn't saying anything to me, you know. And I think that would be it would be a problem then. But for him, you know, kind of always telling me stuff and always making sure that I know certain things, I'm thankful for it. And I'm really glad that I came here.
I wish I was good enough to give somebody confidence. I'm not that good.
Oh, the always honest Tom Izzo. I love chatting with him, especially when it comes to just how he goes about motivating players. Because, I mean, and we could see it at times. We've seen it throughout this year. Josh Langford, in certain plays, in certain moments of the game, Josh just has not been there. And it was very encouraging to see him on Tuesday night against Youngstown State just find some type of groove. And a lot of that had to do with the play of the guards. You got to give a lot of credit to a player that we don't bring up all the time just because his numbers don't look that sexy at the end of the games. But Lou Rawls, Tum Tum Nearing Jr. right now, among the Big Ten leaders in assist-to-turnover ratio, just taking care of the ball, not turning it over, and getting players involved, that does wonders for this team. And for me, the story that I rolled with after Tuesday's game was, of course, Cassius Winston. This young stud is going to be a fantastic player. It was the best game in my eyes that I've seen Cassius play since his state championship run in high school. He was that good. So good that actually, play-by-play, or I should say, the analyst of ESPNU broadcasting that game that night, Tim McCormick, received a text from none other than Spartan great My Team Cleves. Cleves texts Tim McCormick, and Tim said during the broadcast that Cleves said, quote, "Cassius will be a better leader than I was," end quote. Big, big words. And I asked Tom after the game whether or not there were any similarities between Cleves and Winston, and Tom said, pump the brakes, hold up, wait a minute, blinking yellow light here, it ain't gonna happen this year, all right? He's a great player, and he's still working on his leadership, but that comes with time, and I totally agree with that. Izzo is a coach who is not going to bite his tongue. He is going to be honest with you, and he is going to push you in order to get the best out of you. Here is Coach Izzo on pushing his players.
I do think sometimes they don't know what that means, mm-hmm. but like Josh, he's learning, man. He's going to be fine. Nick's the best example. I mean, if I look at Nick 6 months ago when he got here, if I look at Nick 3 months ago, if I look at Nick 2 months ago and I look at him now, I'm glad I wore my voice out on Nick, because I'm getting something in return and he's getting something in return. And that's what it is, guys. It's this is going to be a relentless push each and every day, because, you know, my mission now is to we got our butts kicked, you know, a lot of games here early, and I'm going to make sure we find a way to be kicking before we're done.
Oh, I love that quote. That may have been my favorite quote of the media availability yesterday. We've got our butts kicked, but I'm going to find a way to make sure that we're kicking. Oh, that's great. Isn't it, Isaac? I mean, Izzo just, gosh, man. Whenever he does retire from the MSU men's basketball program, I am going to, along with many of you out there, many of us are going to miss him for sure. So, MSU, Tennessee Tech, tomorrow afternoon, 2 p.m. game. Here's Izzo giving us a bit of a preview.
They got a guard, number 4. His name is hard to pronounce. That is one of the best shooters I've seen in college basketball, at least on film. And they have a couple of guards that are very good. They run a lot. They can score the ball. Haven't been as good defensively that I've seen on film. But those guards can do a lot of things and be another good challenge for Cassius. I thought Cassius rose up a little. I thought Tum did. I thought, you know, playing Tum and Cassius together some wasn't all bad. You know, again, we got so many things we're messing with, but it's just the way it is. So they're a solid, good team. I don't think they're a great team, but they're better than some teams we played, I can promise you that.
Do other teams dictate how often you can play Cassius and Tom together with their size and stuff on the wings?
You know, Duke maybe a little bit because he had such big guards. Right. But the most part, you know, unless they're posting their guards or really struggling rebounding. And that's an area that I think we've really worked harder on today. We just got to cut out better because we are smaller and we got to go more on the offensive end. So those two things we're really trying to work on too.
How did Cassius rise up? You said you thought he...
Well, I thought defensively he played where, you know, he was just a better player defensively. And not Travis Walton and Mateen Cleaves yet, but he's making strides now, and I think he understands what he has to do. You know, the intensity you have to play with in this league, and if your point guard, you know, we always say if the head is on, the rest of the body responds. If the head is dead, the rest of the body responds. So when you're playing the point defensively, that's an important position. He is rebounding a little better. He's pushing a little better. He's still not as consistent with it. Still staying in the middle a little bit. There's things we talked to him about, but starting to make progress, boy. And if he does, he's going to be a hell of a player.
Also want to note, don't think it's anything serious, but during yesterday's practice, we as media members did not see Matt McQuaid play at all. So I saw him come out of the tunnel, and he talked with the trainers. He got bumped in the face during practice, I believe, in a bang-bang play with Josh Langford. He had a migraine after. He should be fine, though. Nothing serious. I asked Coach Izzo about it after practice, and it should be nothing serious. All right, well, let's bring in our guest for today's show. He is a dear friend of Current Sports, Lansing native, college basketball reporter, and producer of CBS Radio down in the much warmer ATL, our dear friend Deshaun Tate. Deshaun! What's up, my man? How you doing?
I'm freezing out. Yeah. It is, dude, I don't know. You know what I think? I think that Lansing, or East Lansing, rather, can definitely give Green Bay, Wisconsin a run for its money to be considered, you know, the frozen tundra, that's for sure.
It's bad, isn't it? And yeah. Walking to practice yesterday, I mean, I can deal with the cold, but when it gets to a certain level where your bones are shivering,
yeah,
I got a problem with it.
Well, you know, I don't have much weight on me anyways either, man. So it's like, I tell you right. What, it could be worse. Like, if there was a lot of wind to go with the cold, like, my skinny self would probably just be, like, blowing like a flag on the flagpole. You know what I'm saying? Like, right. If it blew just the right way.
Just the right way, dude. Yeah. It can get very windy when it comes to this time of the year as well. So,
yeah, man.
Deshaun, let's warm you up a bit and talk some college basketball.
Okay.
You heard what Tom Izzo had to say concerning his team. They went through the toughest November in program history. They've got injuries. Miles Bridges, who I saw in the boot yesterday, but it looks like he's progressing. He will be back, we hope, in time for Big Ten play. Ben Carter, don't know if he'll return this year. And Gavin Schilling, maybe Big Ten play, or I could even see Gavin Schilling possibly taking a medical redshirt and sitting out this year entirely. What's your assessment of this team so far? And do you think this team could make a legit run come March?
This team is probably a disappointment in some people's eyes. And, I mean, so far from what I've seen as far as production on the floor, it's not really disappointment for me. I mean, I would have liked to definitely see them fight a little more against Kentucky, but I don't think that that's something that Michigan State could really control either when you look at it from a talent standpoint. And I like the way that I felt a lot better about the Duke game. It's just a better feel. I feel like they learned from the Arizona game. I feel like they learned from the Kentucky game. That was the game where I feel like they learned a lot and turned the corner. Although they still lost the game, it didn't look bad, and they still was able to walk out of there holding their head high. So as far as from a standpoint of the injuries and things like that, I don't believe that, with all due respect, that Gavin Schilling nor Ben Carter would have made a 20-point difference, you know, in the Baylor game, nor a 30-point difference, I think it was, or something close to that, in the Kentucky game or whatever. So, I don't know, man. There's no excuses, you know. This schedule has been made like this for a long time. I mean, going back to 2003, and I can't remember exactly, but I think it was the 2003-04 season, if I'm not mistaken, we saw All losses. I think Kentucky was on that schedule. UCLA, Oklahoma was on that schedule. It may have been Duke on that schedule. I mean, you've seen a lot of big-time games that kind of reminded us this year of that same year. So can they make a run in March? Sure. I mean, that's what college basketball is all about. But sometimes I think that Tom Izzo has and Michigan State has spoiled a lot of the Michigan State fans with believing every year that they're going to make that deep run. And if you don't make that deep run to the second, at least the second weekend of the tournament, then it's kind of been like a very disappointing season, even if they don't have one of the better Michigan State teams.
Izzo does this every year. He loads up the schedule. He makes it top heavy. He likes to see where his team – where the hole, I always say it, you know, where the holes in the boat are to move forward and to plug those as the year moves along, especially before conference play. And the four losses they've had, as you mentioned, they've all been against ranked opponents, right? Bridges is so compelling to me because he is, let's face it, even though he's a freshman, Bridges is the most talented player on this roster. I haven't covered a basketball player of his talent since I've been a reporter in this area. Do you think Bridges will be a one-and-done guy?
Let me say this first before I answer that. The very first thing that I heard you say was that we had losses to our ranked teams. But if I'm Michigan, if I'm Tom Izzo and I'm Michigan State, I am treating – this is where it has to start because this is where Tom Izzo has built the Michigan State basketball program. You have to treat that Florida Gulf Coast game like a loss.
Certainly.
That's what I think that you – that's where it starts.
He treated the Oral Roberts four-point win as
same
a loss.
Deal.
I mean, you would have thought his cat just died or something when he walked in the press conference.
Same deal. Yeah. Same deal. He's the most talented, and it looks like he's the consensus, obvious best player on the team and going to be leaving out to go to the NBA draft. If he sticks around, it's because of nothing more than the fact that he's just a true Spartan at heart. And he really wants to win a national championship, and he wants to give it one extra year. And that you can see it's not all about the money. I mean, think about it right now. Even in the NBA, one reason why people gravitate, especially me, towards college basketball so much more is because of the fact that it's not really about who's out there playing because they're getting paid or not. You know what I'm saying?
The politics of it.
Yeah, right. You got guys out there that are just strictly playing for the passion. You know, for the love of the game in college, you know, the same way you do in college football. And it makes it a little bit more exciting and enticing. So from that standpoint, it seems like it's an easy thing to do with going off to the league and probably going to be a top 10 draft pick or definitely a lottery pick, I would like to think. No question about being a first rounder as long as he can stay healthy. I'm not sure where this injury situation is going to take him, but there's no reason to rush him back because all this pressure that you're putting on him, I don't think you rush him.
Folks, our phone lines are open, 517-355-5226, or you can call 517-432-3305. If you've got a question for Deshaun Tate of CBS Radio out in Atlanta, please call in or you can weigh in via facebook.com/currentsports. We have the live stream going right now, or even tweet us at Al Martin WKAR or at WKAR_sports. Deshaun, you are also on Twitter. What's your Twitter handle, my man?
At Tate's Take Sports, TATESTAKE Sports.
You heard the quote I had about Tim McCormick getting a text from my team, Cleves. Arguably the greatest leader this program has ever had. How good can Cassius Winston be? Premature conversation when talking about him being compared to my team, Cleves. We all know that. But this kid has a lot of talent, Deshaun.
Really good. I think that he can be. One thing that we do and I have a huge problem with is everybody runs off and tries to compare what a certain person is going to be later. You know, too often people compare guys, and we're just talking about the comparison, because we've been hearing this comparison thing for some time. Think about it. We've been hearing when Marcus Taylor came in here in 2000, 2001 season, we heard the comparison since he was a kid. I don't know if it had the Lansing ties, but we heard a lot of comparisons to Magic Johnson.
Yep.
We heard the exact same thing out of Chris Allen, who's a Georgia native. He was going to be the best shooter since Sean Respert. We're hearing the same thing with Nick Ward right now. I keep hearing Zach Randolph's name being mentioned. We keep hearing – Denzel with Magic. The same thing with who am I thinking of? The Miles Bridges right now, the Jason Richardson and all that kind of stuff. So it's way too much. You know, I talked to Todd Duckett former running back of Michigan State, obviously. Yeah. And I had a conversation with him. I said, what type of guy is Michael Vick? And I'm going to answer your question, Al, but I said, what type of guy is Michael Vick? Because I heard Michael Vick say when he's got his first glimpse of Lamar Jackson, the quarterback of Louisville, he said, this guy has the tools. He's better than me. And I said, well, what I want to know, because I don't know Michael Vick, I want to ask Todd, what type of guy is Michael Vick? Would he just say that just to be saying it, you know, and just kind of to get a rise out of everyone? Or is that really what he said? No, that's who he is. Like, if he said it, he means it. Now, with this whole situation about the comparison to Mateen Cleaves, those are big shoes to fill. I don't know if Mateen Cleaves.
Size 20, man.
Mateen Cleaves is one of, and think about this, people. Mateen Cleaves is probably one of the very, very few people that can probably go, and this is going to sound weird, but it's my comedian side just a little bit, but it's so true. He could probably walk right onto U of M's campus butt naked, take urinate in the middle of the street, and they probably just take him straight home. This dude, like, he
is like
the king.
I don't know about that one. I think he may be like Demetrius Cox. Dude,
How about this? On this campus.
Okay, on this. Oh, yeah. Mateen Cleaves can do no wrong campus.
Even, you know, I think the love that he has from so many people, if not love, the respect that people have from what he's been able to do on the court, those are big shoes to fill from a person named Cassius Winston.
Yeah.
Now, if we're just talking about on the court, that still is big shoes to fill as far as I'm concerned. You know what I'm saying? He brought a national championship that hadn't been done from nobody else since Magic Johnson.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And then even more so, there hasn't been a team in the Big Ten of all the teams that have been to even win a national championship since Mateen Cleaves took his team to do that. We've seen Michigan State go back to the title game probably twice. I think Illinois once against Carolina. We've seen Ohio State with Greg Oden. Nobody has been able to finish the deal. We're talking about that comparison. That's a bit much for a freshman.
Of course. He certainly had got strides. But I do see Cassius getting better. I mean, he had such – again, it's Youngstown State.
Oh, sure.
Take it with a grain of salt. But the control he had on the game was remarkable. Deshaun, we only got 3 minutes left here, which your time flies. Mm-hmm. I want to ask you, because again, you just you're from Lansing, you're doing a great job out in Atlanta, and you have a close ear to the rest of the college basketball world. I got to know, who are your top teams right now? And you actually sent me a text saying, hey, Al, UCLA.
I'm telling you.
And boy, oh boy, does UCLA look really good right now. They actually will play Michigan at home tomorrow. Who are your top teams right now?
To finish that off, that wasn't a shot at Cassius, man. I think he's a phenomenal basketball player. I just want to go ahead and make sure I'm throwing that out there.
But it's early. Yeah, Let's see how this plays out.
Well, and it's going to benefit a lot, too, Al, because of the simple fact that he's able to do so many things well on the floor because of these guys that he's so familiar with playing with.
Definitely.
That brings out the better in the whole team. But no, definitely UCLA, obviously, was probably the biggest one as far as I'm concerned right now. I think that the
Nova.
Villanova. I mean, you got some scary teams that can be really, really good too. But Villanova's a really good team. They're a really good coach team. But I don't see them necessarily getting back. I don't know if I want to go that far. But if we're just talking about amongst the best teams in the country, if Kentucky can learn how to, just stay disciplined and not make silly mistakes and make free throws, which is typically not a Coach Calipari team that can usually do that, they're going to be a very, very tough out. It's right now, it's just so up in the air for so many different teams because I see a lot of quality teams. Imagine what Duke's going to be when they get everybody back. I mean, they don't even need everybody back, and they're taking care of business.
They're still missing. I don't know if they're still missing those three freshmen, but I know those three freshmen did not play when Michigan State matched up with them, and they only played six players an entire game, and were able to still pull out that win against MSU.
I mean, Kansas is even tough. I mean, it's been quite some time, 8 years since Kansas has won a national championship, and I think 5 years since they've gone to a Final Four. It looks like that's something they need to do sometime soon, too. And, I mean, they're chasing John Wooden's, 13 consecutive regular season championships within the conference. So, considering all things, you have a lot of good teams, but that UCLA team is tough.
Deshaun, before we hit our final break here and close out the show, give us a sleeper team.
The sleeper team, let's go Rhode Island. Rhode Island Rams, they're athletic, they're experienced, a lot of seniors. You always want to check that thing when that Selection Sunday comes out. When you got those three things and they're well coached and they just like to go, they're ready for the big stage. Last year was supposed to be a very, very huge year for them. They had multiple guys injured. Everybody's healthy now. that's who you want to watch
out for. Are they ranked right now?
They are not ranked. Okay. They were just 21. They just dropped two games within the last 2 weeks, but one of those games was Valparaiso. The other one was Duke. So how about that?
Okay, I get it.
And kept it very, very close. A game that nobody is going to remember until, you know, till the brackets come out and Selection Sunday, and then they make that deep run to the second weekend in the tournament. People are going to say, hey, this team played Duke, and it was actually a close game. So everybody here gets to hear it here first. It's definitely Rhode Island, people.
All right, we'll see. Well, I'll keep my close eye on RI for sure. All right, well, Deshaun, we got to get you out of here, my man. But, hey, how can people follow your work?
On CBS, 92.9, the game, CBS affiliated radio station, 92.9thegame.com, 929thegame.com without the point. And as well on Twitter at Tate's Take Sports. I'm also on Facebook. I'm also on Instagram, all that good stuff. So just give me a shout.
DT, Lansing native and college basketball reporter and producer of CBS Radio of Atlanta. Deshaun, always a great time. Thank you so much, my friend.
Thank you.
All right, let's hit our final break. Also, we got a rumor mill here. This is coming from one of my PAs right now. I'm seeing my rundown. On the rumor mill, possible trade? Well, the Pistons possibly getting Paul George and Monte Ellis from the Pistons? From the Pacers? Whoa! That's crazy. Let me let that digest. Let's hit our final break. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. We have to say goodbye to three of our current sports production assistants. We have Zach Swiezicki, Zach Barnes, and Griffin Wasik. I just want to give your final thoughts on how the semester went, and what do you guys have coming up?
I mean, it's been a blast, you know, working with you, covering games, covering stories. I learned a lot. Me and Zach are at Impact. Follow us there. Maybe stop and say hi.
Without a doubt. I would love to come on anytime you guys would have me. So, Zach Swiezicki, we enjoyed you, my friend. Griffin, final thoughts, man, on your semester.
The semester was a lot of fun. Learned a lot about a radio show on being on the production side. Also got to go on air quite a bit, which was good learning curve. Looking back at the first broadcast I was on here to where I am now.
You were shaking, weren't you, Griffin?
Yeah, definitely a huge improvement there. Working on a beat, high school beat with Holt was a lot of fun. I'm really excited for my final project, too. They'll be on WKR in the next week, so
yeah,
check that out.
And we'll keep our listeners updated on those stories that you guys have brewing for WKAR.org. ZB, Zach Barnes, final thoughts, my man.
Sundays, 10 a.m. to 11 a.m., 89 FM, Zach Barnes on the Pact.
Of course.
Look for me in the future. Al, all you did was add to my hunger to work in radio one day, so thank you for that.
Great semester, right? I really enjoyed you three, and I wish you luck on your future endeavors, and don't be a stranger, all right? You guys are welcome anytime. Reflection Friday, let's close it out, Isaac. All right, I'm going to be brief. We only have 30 seconds here, Isaac, but I'm going to make my case after the Detroit Lions handle the Chicago Bears on Sunday. Matthew Stafford right now is numero uno in my book when it comes to the MVP race. I'll expand on Monday. Anything, Isaac?
Not in this time limit. Watch Gleason. It sounds great.
It is great. We'll be back on Monday, folks. Take care and be easy, people.